This is AMDA On The Go, your gateway to expert discussions, journal article reviews, and innovation in post-acute and long-term care. AMDA On The Go is a presentation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. This podcast is eligible for ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits. Details will be provided at the end of this podcast. And now here's our host for AMDA On The Go, Dr. Wayne Saltzman.
Welcome to AMDA On The Go. This podcast will discuss an award-winning quality initiative in post-acute and long-term care. We are becoming an aging society. In a recent New England Journal of Medicine Perspectives piece by Linda Freed and John Rowe entitled Health and Aging, Past, Present, and Future, our society is described as adapting to a demographic transformation with the evolution of public health and medical systems and institutions that support productivity and engagement of older people. The Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, ACGME, tells us that we must enable our residents to demonstrate the interpersonal and communication skills that result in effective information exchange and teaming with patients and patients' families. And Gail Sheehy, the noted author of the 2010 book, Passages in Caregiving, showed us how satisfying aging could be, but how we needed to remember the robust lives that existed before and come to accept the idea that simply older is better. So, we have an aging society, the tools to augment communication and care, and the potential for the later stages of life to be fulfilling. And how are we doing in that regard? Sounds like we have enough information for a quality assessment performance improvement project, or QAPI. So why not start in the nursing home setting and look at how quality of care and quality of life could be improved all around the idea of communication and perception around plans of care? Well, that is exactly what Dr. Fatima Sheikh and her post-acute and long-term care team actually did. And it was so impactful that the Foundation for the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, in its support of quality of life, awarded Dr. Sheikh and her team the best quality improvement project of 2020. And as luck would have it, we are extremely fortunate to have Dr. Sheikh here with us now to tell us about her project. Dr. Sheikh is the Chief Medical Officer of Future Care Health and Management, which is a for-profit organization that owns and manages multiple skilled nursing facilities and long-term care facilities in the Baltimore, Washington area. She is also a certified medical director of multiple skilled nursing and long-term care facilities. She was trained at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in geriatrics and currently holds a part-time faculty position as assistant professor with Division of Geriatric Medicine at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. She is also a clinician, educator, and researcher in post-acute and long-term care settings. Dr. Sheikh is a recipient of the American Geriatric Society Clinician of the Year Award in 2017 for her clinical work, mentorship of her interprofessional team and learners from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and efforts to improve care transitions for older adults. Dr. Sheikh, it is my pleasure to welcome you to AMDA On The Go.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and such a kind introduction. It is very exciting to be on this podcast with you.
Dr. Sheikh, I typically like to start our discussion with somewhat of a historical framework to set the tone. In 2002, at my first AMDA event on core medical director training, Dr. Len Gelman, a society icon himself, stood before the crowd and proclaimed, "You must know the regs." And he was referring to long-term care regulations, a mantra that he continues to proclaim nearly 20 years later. So when I thought of your team's 2020 Quality Improvement Award for the project, Understanding Long-Term Care Residents' Perceptions on Interdisciplinary Care Plan Meetings, I immediately thought of the regulation 42 CFR 43.25 on quality care. This regulation states in part that the facility must ensure that residents receive treatment and care in accordance with professional standards of practice, the comprehensive person-centered care plan, and the residents' choices. So I was thinking that you and your team were not convinced that the regulation was translating well for your residents. So lead us through the genesis of your project. You know, I don't know many medical directors who attend care plan meetings, so I'm interested to know how you came to focus on the care plan, what led you to believe that issues around the care plans at Future Care needed a QI project, and, you know, did you recognize a disconnect between resident and family care and caregiver and facility that was impairing quality of life and or care? I mean, what did you see? A lot of questions to understand how you came to believe that you needed to do something.
Yeah, great question. And I agree, you know, working in long-term care, it's a must to know the regs because that is a foundation for so many policies and processes that we have in long-term care. One thing though, my mentor, Dr. Elan, always used to tell me that we need to look beyond regulations as well and focus on patients. So patients should always remain a focus for our medical care and everything else would line up by itself. So it is a very important topic to stay focused at patient care and to have patient as the middle or actually in the middle of the healthcare we provide to them. So let me walk you through how all of this evolved. So you mentioned in your kind introduction, I'm a volunteer faculty with Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. And I have been involved in teaching geriatric fellows since I have been working with Future Care. So I felt like Future Care gave me this opportunity to work with the trainees and mold them and help them understand how we function in the long-term care. So when I took my AMDA core curriculum as part of my CND requirement, I was very inspired by the copy process. I felt that was so unique to the long-term care setting because we need to have that in place so we can look at how we are performing and how we can improve. I wanted my trainees, geriatric fellows, to use that approach as well. So initially, when I was working with them, I incorporated that requirement into their subacute rotation. And that rotation was only for 1 month. All the fellows, they tried to decide upon a QI project and tried to work on it, but there were time constraints of 1 month to put together a project and to implement it. So it wasn't super successful. So later on, I decided to make it a part of the long-term care curriculum because that gave the opportunity to the geriatric fellows to choose a project, work on it, and implement it throughout the year and see how sustainable the project itself may be in a facility. So what I do is I ask the fellows to observe around them while they're working in the facility at Future Care North Point. Look at the processes, look at any opportunities that may exist in the facility where they can improve upon. But the project needs to be achievable because they have only 1 year. It needs to be measurable so we can collect data and understand from that data where the gaps are. It needs to be implementable so that we can see the results. And then it has to be sustainable so that it will have long life within the facility. I also encourage them to talk to Director of Nursing and PI managers so that they can align their projects with what the facility may feel as a priority. It also actually gives them an opportunity to work in a team setting. So myself, my director of nursing, PI manager, and fellows, we all work together on a project so that we can achieve a goal that everyone will be able to apply in their setting. I think one unique thing that I hope to achieve from all of this for my fellows, and that's my overarching hope or goal, if you were to say, because I feel a lot of times when providers, physicians, nurse practitioners, or residents, when they come to our facilities in long-term care setting, they feel it's so depressing. They may feel that there's not much hope. They may feel that regulations are as such that it's difficult to change. And I want to change that perspective because that's not what long-term care is about. I think that may be a stigma attached to long-term care, but people like us, like you and I, who work in the long-term care setting, feel differently. So I want them to show that perspective. I want my trainees to be the element of change. It doesn't matter what healthcare setting they may decide to work in after their training in geriatrics. May it be hospital setting, outpatient setting, or nursing home. They can take this experience and bring a change to any healthcare setting they may decide to work in future. Secondly, I also want them to use this quality improvement approach to provide education to the nursing team. And you know, it could be as simple as delirium. They may feel that the GNAs, they need more education on delirium. So that could be an opportunity to provide education. And I think lastly, I feel there are so many research opportunities in long-term care setting, and that may be an attraction to the young trainees so they can work in long-term care setting, enjoy that work with their optimistic approach, and then use those opportunities for QI as research opportunities as well. So I know I have a lot of hopes, and I'm hoping that the learners do take away some of this, if not all, from the experiences.
I love everything you've just said, and I know that our listeners will too, but actually taking the core competency program and putting it into life, helping the geriatric fellows be elements of change and empowering them to make change, educating the entire team and making the LTC, the long-term care setting, attractive. Wow. Now I intuitively know why you won the award, but that's just wonderful. Dr. Shaikh, as a segue to the first question, tell us about the project itself. You know, in the AMDA core curriculum, as you already said, you know, we learn that to the approach to QAPI, to quality assessment process improvement, has a number of steps that often lead to a kind of a plan, do, study, act, or PDSA type of process. You know, was it this way for you and your team? You know, tell us how you formulated your plan. Tell us, if you can, about the quality tools you ended up using, and how you conducted your study. You know, what were the metrics that you talked about? You know, lead us through the project itself, please.
Yeah, so last year, Dr. Chitra Hamilton and Dr. Mariah Robertson were the geriatric fellows who were working with me. And from their observation in the facility, they decided to pick this project, and I was their mentor throughout their 1 year fellowship. And the main hope from this project is to learn how we can incorporate the patients and their surrogates into the decision making that happens during the interdisciplinary care plan meetings. And we certainly don't know enough about how to best incorporate the patients into these meetings. There hasn't been much research done. It's not very well studied area. And as you also mentioned, it's one of the regulation. So, and the care plans, they need to be aligned to the needs of the patients. So the patients can have better life while they are in the long-term care setting. We don't know enough what our residents and their surrogates understand from these care plan meetings. So they may get an invitation to attend those, but we wanted to understand a little bit more. What is their understanding? So thinking from their perspective, and then to improve upon these care plan meetings so that we can include them better. We can, you know, have the discussions that our residents and their surrogates want to have. So that was the thought behind this quality improvement project. We wanted to make the care plan more patient-centered. So as you know, in 1987, federal government formalizes meetings as to be essential in the care plan of long-term care residents. And it wasn't until the omnibus budget reconciliation when these meetings, care plan meetings, were mandated. And the regulation itself talks about having professional standards of practice and having a comprehensive patient-centered care plan to reflect on residents' choices. So although there is a variation how facilities conduct these meetings all over the nation, but do we need to have a little bit more uniform approach? Do we need to have some salient features in these care plan meetings so patient remains as the center of the discussion? So how did we do this? So as you mentioned, AMDA trains us about plan, do, study, act process. So we use a similar process for our project as well. So as I mentioned, our plan was to study if there are gaps in understanding of these care plans among patients and their families who live in the long-term care setting. And then from the data we would collect, we wanted to learn how we can make them more patient-centered. So the way we did it, we actually first of all got an approval from IRB at Johns Hopkins. And our focus was Future Care North Point as the facility of choice, as the geriatric fellows, they were getting their training on long-term care curriculum in their facility. Residents were selected very randomly, and before enrolling them in the study, they were consented. And then they were offered an interview, either face-to-face or over the phone. And I do have to admit that during COVID, the process was very difficult because we were not allowing any outside visitors to come in. So a lot of these interviews actually happened over the phone or during telehealth visits. And interestingly, during that period, most of the residents and their surrogates talked about the difficulties that they were seeing during the COVID pandemic, how difficult it was for them not to see their loved one and not to be able to visit outdoors, not to be able to attend communal dining and activities. So a lot of focus during COVID months was on the challenges that these residents and their family members had to suffer. So certainly very, very touching and And also difficult because we felt so helpless due to the policies. And of course, we wanted to safeguard our residents from any exposure to COVID. So what we hope to do, so we still have to finish few interviews, but what we hope to do from these interviews is that we want to do qualitative analysis. We want to pick certain themes that the residents and the surrogates mention about these care plan meetings and take from those themes as to what their wishes are, as to what their understanding is, and how they wish to be at the center of the care plan meeting. And once we had those themes, we want to apply it into our current care planning process. So we will adapt to those and then see the outcomes. And we will look at the satisfaction of our residents and surrogates. So a little bit more work to do. A little bit more work to do for sure.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Managing your patient's needs across multiple specialties is increasingly important, but also an increasingly challenging task. U.S. Post-Acute Care now offers clinical staffing solutions not only for primary care medicine, but also for behavioral health, chronic care management, and telehealth, bringing you a more comprehensive solution for your patients and your facilities. Now more than ever, your patients need you in so many ways. Let U.S. Post-Acute Care help you deliver more complete quality care. For more information, visit us at uspostacutecare.com.
We are speaking with Dr. Fatima Sheikh about her 2020 Quality Improvement Award on nursing facility residents' perceptions around care plans. Dr. Sheikh, as you know, a central motivation of the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, AMDA, has always been, what can we teach or discuss today that can be put into action by our, as I like to refer to them, Joe AMDAs in the trenches, our providers on site tomorrow? What can we do today? What can we talk about today and put in action tomorrow? So, you know, from your experience and maybe thinking about not having the ability to have geriatric fellows in a facility, so a provider in the facility, what would you advise our listeners to look for in their own facilities in order to spotlight the resident care plan? You know, how can they identify understanding or even the level of involvement of the resident and or family, you know, when it comes to the plan of care that, you know, truly represents their life, as you so clearly explained, you know, over time in the facility, you know, and how does this apply, just kind of adding an additional caveat, how does this apply to residents with dementia?
Yeah, it's certainly difficult, but not impossible. I think we as providers, so as physicians, we have this longitudinal relationship with our patients. They trust us, and we need to use that trust to ask them about their understanding of their care plans. We need to empower them to ask questions. We need to let them know that they should be at the center of any medical decisions that they make. So they are the ones who should be molding their patient care according to their needs, according to their wishes, and according to their rights. So as providers, we need to be respectful of that. And I think the second hat that we wear as a medical director, that's important because then we can work with our teams, the leadership of the facilities, the department heads in the facility, and let them know that they need to change the way they handle the care plan meetings. They need to change the way they conduct their care plan meetings so that patients can voice their needs. They can voice what they want from their medical care. So I think we need to make sure that as a provider, And as a medical director, we are bringing that change in our facilities.
Dr. Shaikh, as has become customary in the time that we have remaining, I typically like to be a little provocative with my guests, but not too much. But I was thinking of this. It seems to me that the resident care plan is actually somewhat brittle when it comes to the nursing home environment. You know, you've talked about COVID-19, and, you know, during COVID-19, for all of us involved, you know, care plans were not part of the equation of care with the stress of infection, the decreased staffing ratios, the isolation of residents, and the potential end-of-life scenarios. You know, should the care plan be able to survive a crisis or a time of instability, or is its utility somewhat limited? You know, how can we make sure that 42 CFR 483.25 on quality care can be upheld, followed, and understood for that person-centered care you talk about that's based on resident choices when the normality of life itself can be threatened?
That's very true, that care plans can be actually, they tend to be brittle. So there is a set routine for the care plans and they don't have ability to mold themselves according to different scenarios like pandemic. But I think that's what we need to change. And we need to make it more sustainable, maybe through periods of a pandemic or, you know, when we get back to our somewhat normal lives and routines. And as I mentioned, COVID-19 has been very tough on our residents. They suffered from social isolation, loneliness, decreased appetite, and the stress of infection when they were infected with SARS-CoV-2. Or the burden of testing itself that we are seeing in our facilities to keep the COVID out. So definitely these are difficult times and very unusual times for sure. But should the care plan lose the ability to have patients at its center, I think care plans should still be effective. They should still be able to define what the patient wants. They should still be conducted in a way where the patients are able to voice their needs and their concerns. I think as we have been so innovative during COVID with telehealth and with Zoom calls and with other venues to achieve, you know, more robust approach to our surrogates and patients. Maybe care plan can also adapt to some of the innovative approaches, some of the unique approaches so that we can survive and sustain through these difficult times.
We have been privileged to speak with and learn from Dr. Fatima Shaikh of Future Care. Dr. Shaikh, congratulations again on your Quality Improvement Award, and thank you very much for what you are doing for the world of long-term care, post-acute care, and the worlds of our geriatric fellows. And of course, thank you for spending your time with AMDA On The Go.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I always look forward to listening to your podcast. So it was such a beautiful experience to share the work that we are doing in our facility with the listeners.
What a gem. What a gem. Thank you. References for this podcast can be found at paltc.org/podcast. Until next time, I'm Dr. Wayne Saltzman for this innovation podcast that we call AMDA On The Go.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post Acute Care. If you are a physician and interested in obtaining ABPLM pre-approved certified medical director credits for certification or recertification, go to our new learning management system at apex.palTC.org. Click on podcast and follow the link to this latest episode. Thank you.